You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
So you know what? Let's do this. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. If I make it through, because my gosh, 1 Samuel chapter 1, that's good, man. That's good. We have a long way to go, and we don't have a lot of time. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, you hear of Elkanah. Elkanah is the husband of two women. The husband of two women. One woman that is loved, and the other one that is unloved. One loved and one unloved. But the woman that is unloved, her name is Peninnah, and the woman who is unloved bears him many children. The woman who is loved is barren and bears no children. The book of Deuteronomy says that if a man has two wives, one that is loved and one that is unloved, and if the firstborn were to come from the one who is unloved, right, the double portion of that man goes to the woman even though she is unloved, and that he cannot favor the woman that he loves, but that the right of the firstborn belongs to the firstborn. Right? The right of the firstborn belongs to the firstborn even though she is unloved. What you see in 1 Samuel chapter 1 is actually the exact opposite. The one who is unloved, let me show you. It says in verse number 3, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 3. And we're going to rush through this a little bit. Friday service went in detail into this. But in order for where we're going, it's important that you see this. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, this man went up, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, which is the place of rest. And also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, which were actually two wicked men. It says, the priests of the Lord were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, whose name means grace, he would give a double portion, for he loved her, although the Lord had closed her womb. So he went contrary to what he was supposed to do, right? So what you see is, if you say, Lord, why are you showing us this? Why do you show us something that is exactly contrary to what the book of Deuteronomy says? Why is it contrary to that? And he says, but to Hannah, it says he would give a double portion. So what we want you to see is that the name, just to go back to the first several chapters in chapter verse 1, it says the name Elkanah means El. When you see El in front of a name, El means God, right? When you see El in front of a name, El means God. And Kana, right? Kana means possessor. Possessor. So God, and it could have two different meanings. God the possessor, right? God the possessor. Or it could mean God the creator. God the possessor or God the creator. So listen to this, right? Listen to this and let your heart go. We're not reading 1 Samuel to understand a man and his wives, right? We're reading 1 Samuel to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? So look at it like that, because that's why the Lord put it there. It wasn't so that you would know a man named Elkanah and have a cute story to tell your kids when they go to sleep, right? This is so we can see him, right? So the one who is the possessor is married to one that he loves, and even though she is unfruitful, he gives to her a double portion, right? Gives to her a double portion. So in other words, he gives to her what is not rightfully hers, Her name is Grace. Grace is for what God has given, which is completely unmerited, right? He has given us Jesus Christ and we didn't merit Him. He says, have I not given you my own Son? How will I not with Him freely give you all things? Elkanah means God the possessor, or God the creator. God, He is Almighty God who created all things, and He is Almighty God who is the possessor of heaven and earth. The possessor of heaven and earth. And so he comes to her and he says to her, so he gives her a double portion, but here's where she is in her life. In her life, even though he gives her a double portion, even though he is the possessor of everything and he is married to her, that has not satisfied her yet. Not because she doesn't have everything, but because she doesn't know she has everything. Not because she doesn't have everything, but because she doesn't know she has everything. So she comes to at the time of worship, she comes and look at verse number. Actually, can we do this? Can you switch over just for a brief moment and then we'll switch back to the King James Version there? Yeah, and then scoot up if you can to bring verse number five up to the top. Yeah. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, which is the double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, is that awesome? The New King James Version said, and her rival. But I like that, because the one that comes to ridicule, and the one who comes to deceive, and the one who comes to make you think that you have nothing, to the one who comes to make you think that you are poor, that you are lonely, that nobody cares for you, and that nobody loves you, the one who comes to feed all those lies to you is the adversary, right? Is the adversary, who is a liar. And he is not only the liar, but he is the father of liars. He's the father of liars. And look at what he says. He says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, to make her fret, to make her worry, to make her be upset, to make her grieve, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, and as he did so year by year, when she shut up, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept, and she did not eat. So here was her problem. When she was at a place where she needed to come and eat without money, without price, when she was at a place in her life where she needed to come eat bread and wine, at that time, that was the very time that she stopped and would not. That was the very time that she stopped and would not, and she would become depressed, right? So she came up to the house of the Lord. She came up to the house of the Lord, and if we can switch back real quick to New King James, right? If we can switch back real quick to New King James, and in verse number seven, so it was year by year that when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, right, God the possessor, or God the creator, God the possessor, said to her, can you listen, don't hear him say it to her, hear him say it to you, right? Right, God the possessor of heaven and earth says to you, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? What was her problem? She wanted to have a boy. She wanted to have a son. And because she had no sons, she allowed her, who is of the world, who had many sons, to ridicule her, who is of God, right? You know, that's almost an oxymoron, right? How could someone of the world make someone who is of God, who has him who is the possessor of heaven and earth, how could anybody make you feel ridiculed? How could anyone make you fret? How could anyone make you worry when you are married, when your maker is your husband? How could you let anybody do that? How could you? How could anyone make you feel inferior when you are the head and you are not the tail, when you are above and you are not beneath? How can we feel inferior when he has placed us above? Above all of our problems, above all of the things of this world, he has set you above corruption. Elkanah said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So let me show you this. Let me show you this. And for the rest of that, I mean, it would do you good if you could pull down Friday service soon and listen to that. That would be good for you. So, but let's do this. Let's go from here and let's go to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And listen, this is so awesome. I tell you, I'm sitting there and I'm just, you know, the Lord shows you something. I just like, ooh, oh. Like, wow, like that's good. Like, it's always good like that. It's always good like that. So remember, what did Elkanah mean again? Elkanah meant God the possessor, right? God the possessor. Watch this. Watch this. My gosh, watch this. Genesis chapter 14. I'll tell you the verse in a second. Genesis chapter 14. And let's take a look at verse number 18. So what happens here is that Abraham and Lot had separated, right? They were growing so prosperous that they separated because they had too much cattle, and you know, the men that kept their fields and their cattle, they were so vast that they were getting into arguments and fights. So, you know, Abraham said to them, you know, we have to part. So they parted, and Lot headed towards the green lands of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham headed the other way. But in the midst of that, right, Sodom was overtaken, and Lot was taken away as well. So Abraham hears that his nephew has been taken captive, and he gets just the trained men of his own house, just the trained men of his own house. It's awesome, right? He doesn't go outside. He just takes the trained men of his house. That's good. That's good. Just the trained men of his house. Just the trained men of his house. That's good. Just the trained men of his house. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the things that you are doing, Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that they will come from within. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the things that happen, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the things that happen, Father, will not come, Lord, because help comes from outside. But thank you, Lord, that the things, Lord, that happen and that will happen, happen from within. Thank you, Lord, that they happen from inside. Thank you that they happen from here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that they happen from within, Lord, from within this house, from within here. Lord, thank you that they happen from within. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So he goes, and with, I think it was about 318 or so men, he goes in and he delivers all of them, his nephew, all of them, and all their goods. And then here's what happens. Jesus appears to him in verse number 18, right? And it's just an appearance of the Lord, right? He's called Melchizedek, king of Salem, or right, king of peace. And then it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Isn't it interesting, right? Hannah's problem is that when she was in the middle of a great issue in her life, she would not eat. She would not eat. Now the Lord says that when you're heavy laden, he says, come in Isaiah, he says, come by, right, and eat. He says, without money and without price, come. He says, come to me, right? He'll give you rest, the Lord says in Matthew 11, 28. And here he says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, the Lord comes out to him. Listen, Abraham just went, and he did this with the men of his house. He comes back, and the Lord wants to show him something. The Lord wants to show him, I am the one. I am the one that will bring you. I am the one that's doing what it, see, I'm the one that's doing this in your life. It's just me. Nobody else is doing it. Nobody else needs, you don't need the power of any other army or of any other people. It's just me doing it. God is singling him out and saying, it's just me. And not only is he singling him out, but he's letting him know, and it's so important. Look at what he's saying. He says, I am yours and you are mine. That's awesome for the Lord to tell you that. I am yours and you are mine. I'm the one that's taking care of you. I'm the one that's taking care of you. That makes you just breathe a sigh of relief. I'm the one that's taking care of you. Look at what he says. He says to him, this is God telling him, right? This is a priest of God Most High. Therefore, it's God telling him. And he brings out bread and wine into the middle of a field. Bread and wine into the middle of a field, right? Abraham didn't say he was hungry. Can somebody bring me some bread? He's bringing them bread and wine in the middle of the field. That means something, right? We do communion with what? Bread and wine. And to do it for what? In remembrance of him. I wonder what God wants to remind him of, right? What he's done before the foundation of the world. The lamb that was slain, right? Right? The lamb that was slain. He says to him, blessed be Abraham. Sorry. Verse 18. Then because the king of Salem brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him. And he blessed him the way you're blessed. He blessed him the way you're blessed. And he said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. When the possessor of heaven and earth blesses you, you're blessed, right? And when the possessor of heaven and earth blesses you, no one can curse you. Right? They will try to curse you. They may say things, right? But it's to their demise, right? Not to yours, right? Not to yours. No one can curse you. No one can curse you. No one can curse you. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And it says, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He's saying, God has done this for you. Your 300 men didn't do it. God did it for you. The victory of Gideon with his 300 men wasn't Gideon that did it. God did it for him. The victory of Joshua in the wall of Jericho was not Joshua and his men. It was God that did it, right? In our lives, who is it that does it? It's God that does it. It's God that does it. And he says, and he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Give me just the people and keep everything else. We don't care. Just keep it all. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand. Listen, because this is important. This is important. He said, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Hannah was married to the possessor. Hannah was married to the possessor, right? And did not know that he's enough. She was married to him and still felt grieved and still felt poor and still felt empty, even though she had everything. You know what happened? The priest Eli gave that woman a word, and he said, God will bring to pass what you have said. The priest, right? Who is our priest? Jesus Christ is our high priest, right? Gives her a word. She accepts it. You know what happens? Elkanah, right? The man and her husband, Elkanah the husband and the wife, Hannah, they come together and they know one another that night. And it said that God remembered her. God remembered her and she bore and she was fruitful. Where did the fruit come from? Where did the fruit come from? The fruit came from the seed that came into her. What did she do? She received the seed. And her heart was good soil, and she bore a harvest, right? Right? Because she accepted the seed of God's word. What do you have on the inside of you? A seed. What do you have on the inside of you? A treasure. A treasure to be unearthed, right? A treasure to be unearthed. You're rich. You're rich. You're rich. Sometimes you act like you're poor, but you're rich. Sometimes you act like you're lonely, but you're filled, right? But you're filled. But you're filled. Sometimes you act like you've lost something. Sometimes you act like you don't have, right? Sometimes you act like you've been forsaken, but he'll never leave you, right? You act sometimes like you've been forsaken, but he'll never leave you, right? But he'll never leave you. Look at what this man says, because this is a powerful thing. I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. You know what that word there, raised my hand? Actually, in the King James, it said lifted my hand. Lifted hand is actually just one word. And you know what it is? There's a word for a hand that is closed, and there is a word for a hand that is an open hand. So you see the picture? He said, I have lifted an open hand to God Most High. I have lifted an open hand, right? I have lifted an open hand, Father, I need. I have lifted an open hand to the one who is the possessor who gives to me. I have lifted my hand only to God. You see what he's saying? I ask no man for anything. Right? I ask no man for anything and need no one to establish me and keep me. I have lifted my... A man that is... Listen, a king. Not just king, but kings were there. The valley that he was in was in the valley of the kings. And he says to the kings that are trying to give him something, I know the king. I know the king and have no need that any other earthly king would try to make me. Listen to what he says. He's not trying to be offensive. He's trying to be revelatory of what he knows, right? He's not trying to be offensive, right? People that don't know get offended at this. People that do know aren't offended and don't think that this is him being cocky, but understands what he is saying, right? Because here's what he's saying. He said, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Who just taught him that? I don't know if he knew it before, but the Lord came to him and said, you are blessed by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. I would take it that either he was reminded of who God is, or he learned it there for the first time, but he knew it and said it. In faith in God, he said, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing. That I will take nothing. Listen what that means. That I will take nothing. The open hand could not be extended like this, but the open hand could be extended towards the world. Taking and doing for yourself. taking and doing for yourself. God has not asked you to have your open hand extended toward a world and then even worse, to try to take for yourself. God has not asked you to take anything for yourself. God said, I will bring it to you. He did not have to go take bread and wine. Bread and wine was brought to him by Jesus Christ himself. He did not go get bread. Bread was brought to him. God will bring it to you. Why? Because it's already in you. You understand? You understand that the Lord is not asking you to go get anything? God has not asked you to go take anything from this world. You already have in you He who is the possessor of heaven and earth. He said all that you... But listen to the beautiful thing. He has asked you to take though. He has asked you to have an open hand. An open hand, in other words, a hand that takes and receives. A hand that takes and receives. But can I tell you something? It's a hand that lifted up to heaven. A hand lifted up right towards the kingdom. But where is the kingdom? Right? Where are you receiving from? What He has given, and it is a fountain. Why does it spring up? So that you would take it, right? Why does it spring up? So that you would take it. So that you would take it. He asks you to have an open hand is not an empty hand. And an open hand is just a hand that receives. An open, he got, you see what he's saying? You see what Abraham is saying? He's saying, I receive and take from no one other than my God. I receive and take from no one. And then he says, I will not take anything. I will take nothing. Look at what he says. Look at it. From a thread. A thread, a thread, from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours. You see what he did? He divided the world. He divided the world right there. He says, everything that is not of God is of this world, and you don't need anything from this world. I will give you everything. I will give you everything. I will supply, listen, does this sound familiar? I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. But we haven't seen that totally yet, right? We haven't seen that because we think that God gives money, right? We think that God rains cars and Mercedes Benz from heaven, right? We think those are blessings and we just miss the bus, right? Things, material garbage of this world is not a blessing. The blessing of God is what you already possess in you. You are already blessed. Abraham was blessed. Look at what God tells him. Because God just establishes this so strongly in him. And this is a man that knows. Listen, you have to know. You have to know. This is not a pretend king offering him pretend riches, right? It would be good, you know, just for the sake of discussion, not for the sake of revelation, but for the sake of discussion, you know what would be awesome? To understand how much he was being given. It would just be curious to know. Because I can guarantee you, the riches of a city are not small. The riches of a city are not small, right? He denied receiving the riches of a city because he said, I will not, look at what he says. So awesome. He says, I will not take anything that is yours lest this world say, I have made Abram rich. I have made Abram rich. You know why? God has enriched you. God has enriched you. God has made you rich. God has made you rich. So good that we would stop looking at ourselves as poor people, right? My God, you're rich. What shallowness, huh? To consider your wealth, whatever you have, in somebody else's bank. How shallow is that, right? For a Christian to think that all that they have is what they have in the bank, and that if they have nothing in the bank, they have nothing, right? We've not understood what it means for Him to meet our needs then. We've not understood what it means that He would meet our needs. Right? I have made Abram rich, except only, it says, what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men, it says, who went with me. Right? The portion of the men who went with me. Let me show you. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 15. Look at what God tells him. After all this stuff, right? Abram says, you know what? I don't need anything that's yours. Don't need it and don't want anything that is yours, right? God says to him, after he declares that by faith in Jesus, right? He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, don't be afraid, Abram. Right? Don't be afraid, Abram. Look what he says. Don't be afraid, Abram. I... This is God saying this, right? I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Go to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I am your exceeding great reward. My gosh, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 6, I believe right around verse number 16. He's his exceeding great what? Reward. Reward. Can I tell you something? Reward there is what is given. What is given, right? What is given. God says, I am the one. I am the one that gives to you. I am the one that has blessed you. Therefore, I am your reward. Listen, that's a thought that the majority of the church doesn't like to deal with, right? Because here's what they hear. If they hear a preacher say that God is your reward, Yeah, I know. You're just making an excuse because you're just going to say that it's okay that I have no money, but that at least I have Jesus. No. You're missing it, right? You just missed it. You just let that go right over your head, right? When someone tells you that you have Him, right? You have in you Him who is the possessor of heaven and earth and whose blessedness, right, makes a man rich. Makes a man rich. Who cares about the other garbage, right? Who cares about the stuff that's added? It doesn't matter. He knows what you need before you ask it, and He'll give it to you. He knows what you need before you ask. So what does He say? Then spend all your time asking me? No, you know what He says? Seek me. Seek me. Don't worry about that other stuff. Don't worry. Listen, don't worry your family. Don't worry one another. Don't get around to talk about how you can get more of that garbage. Just seek me. Seek me. I'll add that stuff to you. I'll add that stuff. He says, man cannot serve mammon and God. Men cannot serve both, right? Men can serve both. Don't look to that stuff like it is a God. Right? Don't look to it and idolize it as though without it you have no life. Don't look to money in your life as though if you did not have it, you have no life. That is called idol, right? That is called, you're lifting something up as though it has the power to sustain you, right? What happens if the market falls again? What happens if your money that you hold so dear is worth nothing? Then what do then? You still have the possessor in you. And He will turn over heaven and earth if He has to, for your needs to be met. If we just believe Him, right? If we just believe Him. Look at what He says in Matthew chapter 6. He's a rewarder. He says He's a rewarder. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16. Look at what it says. It says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. It says, they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, God is not their rewarder. You see that? God is not the rewarder. To Abraham, He said, I am your reward. To Hannah, she had the reward with her. She was married to the rewarder, right? You are married to Him, right, who is your blessing. And who is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, right? He is your reward. His reward is in His hand, right? He is a rewarder. He says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, that's who we're talking to today, right? But to you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you don't appear to men. So that you don't appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father. To your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will what? What will he do? Reward you openly. Reward you. When the Lord in your life brings about the fruit of the Spirit, all see. When the Lord in your life brings about the fruit of the Spirit, all see. All see. You know who saw? You know who saw when Joseph began to open up the huge doors of the amassed grain in the time of famine? All the world saw, right, that the God of Joseph had provided to all that could come now, right, and buy, had provided to all now, provided bread to all the world now that would come. In the time of famine, who did that? The wisdom of God that is in you. The truth of God that is in you. Jesus did that, right? Jesus did that for him. Look at what he says, I will reward you openly. Keep going a little bit further. He said, look what it says. Don't lay up. Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. In other words, don't reach out to this world with an open hand. Don't think that that's your treasure. Don't seek after it. Don't chase after that. Don't prioritize your life with the treasure of this world as your very first thing in life. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Why? Because moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. In other words, you'll treasure it and it'll be taken. You treasure it and it is taken, right? You treasure it and it is taken. It says, well, thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Treasure. He says, you have this what? This treasure in where? In earthen vessels. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. Vessels, right? But lay up for yourselves treasure in what? Heaven. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of heaven is on the inside of you, right? It's on the inside of you. He says, lay up for yourselves treasure there. You know what he's saying? Come with an open hand and lift up open hand only to me. He says, and don't worry, don't fear. He says, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Look at what he says. Don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth with moth and rust destroying, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome that what the Lord has been teaching us is to have what? The mind of Christ. The wisdom of God in our mind. Why? Because He's our treasure. You see, the Lord He's had that word steady on my mind. Unearthing the treasure. You know what? People take a shovel and begin to dig. People that know that there's a treasure there. If they don't know that there's a treasure there, they will not dig. They will not dig. They'll leave it buried, and you know what happened? That one was given it. That's the one. That's the one with the one talent. That's the man with the one talent. Digs a hole and puts it under the earth, right? But doesn't unearth what he has. The one with the five talents and the two talents, what do? They use what they have been given. They take with an open hand what they have been given. What happens? More is given unto them. More is given unto them. Why? Because they become fruitful. Because they become fruitful. Because they use what has been given. If you know the treasure that you have in you, you will unearth it. Here's the difference with you. I can say that probably about almost everybody, if not everybody that's in here today, that here's what you know. You treasure. I'm not saying you know everything, because you don't. And I don't know everything, right? But here's what you know. You know that you have a treasure. You know that you have a treasure. So what's your desire? To unearth it, right? So you seek Him. So you seek Him. Can you do that? Can you look at seeing and seeking Him? Seeking the Lord Jesus like you got a shovel in your hand and you're digging. And you're digging. And you're digging. Why? Because you know there's treasure, right? And every single time that you're diligent about seeking what you have in Him, isn't it awesome that He's a rewarder? That He's the possessor of heaven and earth. You understand why you're worried? You're worried for just finances. You're worried for... Listen, even if the financial mess that you are in is of your own making and of your own doing, the goodness of God would lead you to repentance, right? He's not punishing you for what you've done. Get that stupid thinking out of your mind. He's not punishing you and making you sit in the bed that you've made, right? Or to lay in the bed that you've made, or whatever you want to say, right? He's not doing that. He's not faulting you. God does not work that way. God does not work that way, right? But to him who is unbelieving, He wants him to believe, and He speaks to him so that he will know. But you listen, you that are not offended, and you that don't lean on your own understanding, and you that are not thinking that you know everything, thing, right? You that are not holding on to the traditions of men instead of the Word of God, to you He will teach you. Why? Because you don't lean to your own understanding and you're willing to allow Him to show Himself to you, right? And not be shocked by who He is. Listen, I'll tell you right now, He's beautiful and He is lovely in every way. Beautiful and lovely in every way. And even when He does something that you don't understand, don't think Him strange, because He's not strange, right? He's not strange. He's not strange. But what? Listen, when the Lord speaks to you and shows you what it is that He did and why He did it, you will understand and it will bear witness with you. He's not ugly. He's not ugly. God is not trying to pretend that He is pretty, but when you get close enough to Him, you recognize how obscene and how ugly He really is, right? God is beautiful. Listen, and the more... The closer that you get to him, the more beautiful you will find that he is. You are never disappointed the deeper you go. Never, never. Don't be afraid to go deep and to understand him more. You won't be disappointed the deeper you get, right? You won't be disappointed. Don't be afraid and don't be scared to go deeper, right? Because, listen, and he won't make you weird either. Listen, Abraham, right? Abraham was not weird, right? Right? King Solomon was not weird. Everyone wanted him. Everyone wanted him. Everyone wanted his company. Everyone wanted to hear his wisdom. Listen, God does not make you weird, right? God does not make you weird. The presence of God makes it so that people want to hear what God has to say. Right? He doesn't make you weird. He doesn't make you into a hermit so you have to go close yourself up and be away from everyone. All the contrary. Listen, if that's you today and you're kind of introverted and you're just so shy, listen, all that is just that you're absorbed right now with everything of who you are. Let that go and find out who he is and make him your primary priority in your life. To unearth him and to see him. To seek after him. To seek after him. You'll see how that stuff falls off. Look at what he says. The lamp of the body is the eye. So good comes through as you seek. Right? And the eye is an eye that has to be single. Not an eye that chases after money and an eye that chases after Jesus. Right? But it says the lamp of the body is the eye. And therefore if the eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, meaning your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Look, we're wrapping up here. Look at verse number 25. Therefore I say to you, don't worry. Can you hear the Lord just telling you that today? Just don't worry. Just don't worry. Your mind tells you, you know what? It's careless not to worry. It's irresponsible not to worry. Listen, it would be irresponsible for you not to care and not give God your care and understand that he is the possessor and that he will meet that need. Having your faith in God, that would be irresponsible. To just ignore something that is wrong and not look to God, that is irresponsible. But if your eyes are set on him, and you know the things that he has spoken and said to you, it is not irresponsible to say, Father, I don't care. I have no more care over that. I have no more care over that. I have no more care over that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Isn't that a big statement? Listen, even you guys that are young, right? You guys that are young. You say you have your whole life in front of you, right? He says about your life, don't worry. About your life. If you are 15 years old, don't worry about the entirety of your life. Let's say you were to leave this earth when you're 95. He said, don't worry about a second of it. And you will worry about your senior year. And you will worry about your first this. And you will worry about your first that. And God says, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Because if the possessor of heaven and earth is in you, don't look to impress anyone outwardly, right? Just know me. Just know me, he's saying, right? Just know me. Just know me. He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What he's basically saying is, who you are to me is more important than all that other stuff. The value, see, it is true that God, you know, there was a woman that said that of the Lord. Her name was Hagar, right? Hagar was the servant of Abraham, and she left upset because she became pregnant, right? And the woman, right? The Sarah, Abraham's wife, was not pregnant, and Sarah made a mistake, right? She gave her maid to her husband to be able to have children through her, right? And you know what God told her? God said to her, when the maid, you know, when this whole thing happened where she was pregnant and she wasn't, she got a little uppity with her mistress, right? And Abraham said, she's your servant, you can do whatever you want with her. So Sarah was strong with her and spoke strongly with her. Well, she left offended. God came up to her and said, you know what? Where are you going? Where do you come from and where are you going? Right? And that's significance in that, but we won't stay there. So he says, go back and subject yourself again, submit yourself again, he says, to your boss, I guess we'd say, right? To your master. So she goes back, but before she goes back, she says, have I seen him who sees me? Right? Because the Lord appeared to her and told her, He says, where are you going and where do you come from? Told her everything that had happened. Told her that she was pregnant, that she will have a son. Told her what she would name his son. His name would be Ishmael. Told her what Ishmael would be when he grows up. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Do you really have to worry about your life? He knew her son. Listen, please. Listen. Her son was in her belly. He knew what that boy was going to be when he was an older man. Would you have to worry, right? Do your parents, do we have to worry about anything? Do you have to fear getting old? No. Do you have to fear getting old? No. Well, but you don't know because I'm 60 years old, I'm 70, I'm 75. Do you have to fear getting old? No. Right? The future is in you. Him who is the future is the one that's in you. In you, the one who is the future is on the inside of you. On the inside of you. And he says, don't worry. So she said, have I seen the one that sees me? Hagar said to him, have I seen the one that sees me? But it's an awesome thing that when the Lord sees you, you know, the Lord taught me this a while back. He doesn't see me in my mistakes. He doesn't see me in my errors, right? Because my errors and my sins and the things in my life are the very things that God said that He has put as far as the east is from the west. From His own sight, He has chosen to do that. To not look at it and to not behold it. So when He sees, what does He see? He sees. When He was seeing Abram, his name, listen, his name had not yet been changed. Yet God told him, you're already blessed. I haven't even changed your name to Abraham. Right? The father of many nations. But He told him already, you are already blessed. You are already blessed, right? Isn't it an awesome thing for you to know? But listen, you have not received. Yet the Bible talks about, and I don't know entirely what it means, about a name that only you know, right? But that nobody else would know. And I don't understand entirely what that means. But here's what I do know. That I know what God sees in me. And what He sees in me is who I am fully in Christ. And who I have not yet learned entirely who I am. And you have just begun, right, to be able to see who you are in Christ. Keep digging. And the more you see who He is, the more you will find out who you are. Listen, don't look to someone else. Don't look to someone else. Don't extend an open hand like this to somebody else to say, that's the person that you idolize. That, because people even say it like that. I just idolize that person. I just want to be just like them. God has not called you to imitate anyone in this world ever. God has never called you to imitate a person in this world. You know who He said? Imitate the faith of another. Have faith in Jesus, but never imitate a person. Never imitate a person. Why? The possessor of heaven and earth is on the inside of you. You are in Him. You are in Him. And He has made you like Himself, right? He has made you like Himself. He has made you like Himself. Let's wrap up here. Look at what He says in verse number then 29. In verse number 29. Or 28, I guess. Yeah, 28. So why do you worry about your clothing? People still worry about that, right? Don't people worry about their clothes? People have, and most people would never admit that. What are you so worried about? My clothes. But people worry about their clothes, right? Either they don't have enough, or they want to have more, or everything is about their clothing, right? You're more than your clothing. The skin and the body and the vessel underneath that clothing is more important to God than the clothing on your back, right? And He will dress you. Listen, can I tell you this? I honestly believe this with all my heart. Some of us are not better dressed because we don't let Him dress us. Right? Some of us are not better dressed because we're dressing ourselves. We're taking it from the world ourselves. We're taking things from the world ourselves. In other words, we want to get it ourselves. God says, look at what He says. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Even something as insignificant as Him clothing you. Why is it that's more important? Because He has already clothed you, right? How does He see you? Fully clothed. In a robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, right? How does He see you? Fully clothed. How did He see Joshua and the high priest? That's a different message, right? But out in, I think it's Nehemiah, one of the prophets, he says that. He says, tell them, he says, speak to them and prophesy over them. How is it that you see them? Fully clothed with robe. He says, take off those filthy clothes off of them. Take those filthy clothes off of them, all right? And give them a new robe. Isn't it awesome how the Lord sees you? How He sees you. In the middle of a mistake that you've just made, He doesn't see you in your mess. Right? You're blessed. You're blessed because you have Him. You're blessed because you have Him. And He says, in verse number 32, for after all these things, it says the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom? He says, seek it. Right? Grab a shovel and seek it. And you know what the truth is? Here's the thing. So that we don't get our labor mixed up, right? Let's not get mixed up with an analogy as though you have to labor, right, to be able to see. You don't have to work to see. The one who opens, right, for all intents and purposes, if we're going to talk about shovels and dirt and seeing, the one who is opening and has a shovel in his hand is not you anyway, right? The one that has a shovel in his hand is the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and He's the one that opens up so that you can see. All that you have to do is look, right? Just look. Just behold, just look, and He'll show you.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringingintheharvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.